Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 107 of Generation GC, Falling Away from the Chronicles of Life and Death, Good Charlotte's third album released in 2004. My name is Molly Huddleston. Once again, and as always, I'm your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. Last time, we talked about Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from The Young and the Hopeless, and on our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from Good Morning Revival. Out of Time is an Orlando-based pop-punk collective consisting of Michael Forbes, our guest today, on vocals, Tony Murphy on bass and vocals, Tony Alicia, hope I'm saying that right, on drums, Tony Medina on guitar, and Justin Robinson on guitar. Also, side note, this is the first time I'm realizing there are three Tonys in this band. Wow. The band boasts a distinct pop-punk inclination, drawing on thrashing instrumentals and catchy, relatable lyrics to create a signature sound that's earned them apt comparisons to Newfound Glory and Saves the Day. Last year, 2022, Out of Time announced their signing with record label Revival Recordings. On top of the excitement from the signing, the band is prepping to bring their music to the world and taking this year by storm. They have released three singles recently, Have You Ever Been in a Storm, Wally, False Start, and Husky Fight, which are all included on their debut full-length album, No Boundaries, which is available now on all digital platforms. I also want to shout out that Out of Time recently played some shows with Philadelphia pop-punk band Goalkeeper. You may remember that Goalkeeper guitarist Mark Giuliano was previously on Generation GC talking about Standing Ovation on episode 37. It just makes me really happy when I have a band on the show or get a member of a band on the show and it turns out they know someone else that was on the show. I love that it's such a small world. Here we are, folks. We are really coming into kind of the home stretch of Good Charlotte's studio album Tracks, which is wild. I don't know if I anticipated actually getting through so much. I do have a ton of bonus episode content planned, plus we'll be doing some retrospective episodes as we kind of finish up each album, finish up the tracks from each album. So there are still quite a few episodes of Generation GC left coming up. We do have a few more episodes in this kind of batch, in this season. And after that, I will be back to work recording new episodes. I have some really cool ideas. I can't wait for you to hear everything. As a quick personal update, I'm happy to share that it does seem like my new migraine medication is helping me and making a difference. Fingers crossed that it continues to work. It does take a few months till I see the full benefit, but so far so good. No, you know, awful side effects or anything. And I do see some help so far. With that, a few reminders before we go into episode 107. First, I'm very much looking for guests for the new episodes that I will be recording over the next couple months. I love having guests from all around the world and from all different backgrounds on Generation GC. So if English isn't your first language, that's okay. As long as you're comfortable holding a conversation in English, you're good to go. And different backgrounds doesn't just mean location or ethnicity. It means ensuring a varied gender and sexuality representation and representing fans of different ages and fans with your own unique life experiences of any sort. So if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, wow, I would really like to be on this. I feel like I have a story to share. I have a new perspective. Please reach out. It's my goal for everyone listening to feel like they are represented, that I really reach and connect with Good Charlotte fans everywhere and of every kind of background. So please do not hesitate to reach out. I would love to hear from you. Finally, Generation GC stickers are here. If you want some stickers, all you've got to do is support the show on Anchor. Go to anchor.fm/generationGCpod and click support. All that money goes right back into making the show the best that it can be, from printing and shipping the actual stickers to Dropbox storage, physical hard drive, laptop risers, headphones, cables, the notebooks and pens and pencils that I use to do some of my physical prep before the show. So what you're going to do, you're going to support the show on Anchor. It makes such a big difference. And then you are going to take a screenshot of your support. You will send that to me at generation@gcpod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email generationgcpod@gmail.com along with your mailing address, and then I will send you stickers. Pretty cool, right? Pretty easy. Well, thank you for tuning in to Generation GC on to episode 107.
All right, so today we're talking about Falling Away, which is the bonus track on the Life version of The Chronicles of Life and Death, Good Charlotte's third album released in 2004. And we know that it is the Life version because there is also a Death version. Very innovative of them. The Death version had Meet My Maker. Also, possibly of note, I don't know if you noticed this, Mike, but on Spotify, this is marked as the extended version.
I noticed that as well.
Were you able to tell anything like different?
Not really, at all. Like, cause like revisiting it from, you know, from back in the day, and I hadn't honestly listened to this song in a little bit. But I loved the song. I've always really liked Falling Away. But no, I didn't notice anything different. Like all the counts seemed the same. So
still bangers. And this wasn't like, see, I feel like if there was like a radio version, like if this was a single, like, you know, so people will do like a radio edit of a song. There is, and this boggles my mind to this day, but there is the like radio edit of Where Would We Be Now that I don't think is any shorter, but they changed some of the lyrics. It's like the last line before the chorus or something.
Yeah.
And I have found no explanation for that.
I mean, if we're missing something, I'd love for, you know, wherever, like, I would love to know.
Yeah, so we'll see. So on the CD of this album, this was track 15. Track 14 was In This World, Murder, and then Wounded was included as a hidden track. Whether you had Falling Away or Meet My Maker, you would get Wounded at the end. There would be like a couple minutes of silence and then Wounded. On Spotify, though, Falling Away comes before, or Wounded comes before Falling Away. But on the Death version on Spotify, because I wanted to listen to both today, because I wanted to be able to kind of talk about, you know, Meet My Maker in comparison. But Meet My Maker on Spotify is like, you know, the 8.5 minute track where you have Meet My Maker, some silence, and then Wounded at the end. So
that's super interesting. Like, it's like Wounded is like, it's a bill on the life, but it's still hidden on the death.
Right. So it could be, I mean, I think I feel like most likely it's just some weird, like clerical administrative kind of mix up thing. But it could be like symbolic.
It's always fun to speculate, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Especially a band like this that we like since we were kids that we have that that attachment to. It's like, oh, what do they mean by this? You know,
right, right. Falling Away was also included on the Japanese version of the album. It was not a single. No music video. It's never been played live. And something I do want to mention is, you know. It was 2022 when I sent you these notes by, or was it, did I send these to you yesterday or the day before? I know I was working on them for the most part in 2022. Listeners, we're recording on January 2nd.
Yesterday.
Okay. So, but I was doing most of my research on the song itself when it was still 2022. But anyway, in the 2020s, The big thing you'll see that some people will call a money grab is artists releasing like multiple vinyl variants of an album. And sometimes you'll get a different track, you know, or a different bonus track, but mostly it's literally just like a different color vinyl. And that's a big collector's item. Yeah. But it's, you know, some people say it's a money grab because it helps boost sales. Because if you like effing love an artist and they do four different vinyl variants, well, you're going to buy all four.
Mm-hmm. If it's an album you love, it's a cool, like, hey, this one is, you know, limited 1 of 100 or, you know, so on. That's
right.
Pretty rad. But it's always like the variant. Like, that's a really cool thing to point out.
Right. And I think this, like Good Charlotte having two versions of The Chronicles of Life and Death, which like, if we like zoom out and talk about like the world's reception to Young and the Hopeless, and then some of the stuff they talk about on this album, like especially in I Just Want to Live. Yeah, I don't know. It seems, I guess, poignant is the word in a way. But yeah, some people, and we'll get into like some reviews and stuff, but some people thought it was a money grab that Good Charlotte did that.
I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought it was pretty awesome. Like, because...
Yeah!
Like, you're getting like, oh, which version am I going to get? Some people got both, like... I mean, I had a couple of friends we tag team to make sure, like, all right, if you get this one, that means I can get the bonus of these from you. And then, like, we can burn CDs and get all the bonus tracks. And I thought it was really cool to do. Like, and because, of course, there were the different colors. Like, obviously, the Life version was Lighter Than the Dark.
And well, it's like a new book versus like a really old and aged and like antique kind of like dead book, I guess. I like that this had two versions too, because I think it makes sense for this album, because first of all, it's not just two different covers, it's a different song. And it's like, okay, we're talking about the Chronicles of Life and Death, and like symbolically they're, you know, if symbolically they are saying, well, it could end in life or death, and you don't know.
No, it was pretty awesome, especially for the genre to do, like the genre that they're in, you know.
Yeah, I was looking back at my notes from the Meet My Maker episode with Kate Furtz, which was episode 35, so way back in 2020 we recorded this one. I didn't remember what we had come to, but of what was the origins of the two different versions, like where you could get each. I will say, I remember that Life was a lot easier to find, like the Life version, and to get the Death version, I think I had to like order it like on eBay or something.
I had to see this because I was talking to my wife about it, about this, because she was a big Good Charlotte fan too.
Cool.
We're both from Southern Maryland. I was talking about this and she was like, well, I had the Death version and I had the Life one. So I thought that was kind of tight.
Oh, it's like a yin and yang, like pairing.
I thought that was really cool. Wow. So we listened to the song again together when I told her about this. So, I love this I think you're right, because I got my copy at Walmart for sure, like the day it came out. I'm sure we'll touch on this later, but like Falling Away was actually, I would probably think that was my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, I think it was mine too. Like, and we'll get into it. I had come home from school the day that this album came out, and my dad, like, and you know, I was 13, and this was the first time I was like looking forward to a new album coming out ever in my life. Like I had never experienced that before. And I came home from school and it was like a few days before my bat mitzvah. And my dad presented me with the CD that he had bought me as a surprise.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it was a Life version. And I said, great, this is amazing. And then, you know, I'm like hunting down the Death version eventually too. Mm-hmm. But Mike, we will get into Falling Away. But first I want to help our listeners get to know you. And the first question that I like to ask everyone is, when did you first hear Good Charlotte and what were your first thoughts on them?
This is going to be a lot of fun. So I first heard Good Charlotte, like, God, I think fourth or fifth grade, because like kind of before that too, because my sister, I'm the baby of the family, and my sister used to listen to them.
Youngest children. I'm the oldest in my family. Youngest children have such an advantage of like having an older sibling to show them cool new music. And they can like say, oh, I found out about this band when I was like in fourth grade. And
Oh yeah, dude, it was the best. Like a couple years down there, actually before this album came out, my sister, as long as they kept it quiet, I was allowed to go with her to a tattoo appointment.
And nice.
She, starting line, say it like you mean it, as like, all right, you're not going to tell anybody, so here you go. And then it goes into it. It's like I had a cool older sister that was able to be like, yo, I'm going to get you this dope record. Just don't tell mom and dad about my tattoo. I'm like, oh, yeah, you bet. I got you.
I mean, that is a way to forge a sibling bond that will like last for your whole life, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, sorry to get, I digress. Sorry to get off track.
Oh, you're good.
But yeah, my sister had, she had obviously got me into them, and then, you know, finding out that they were, you know, they were local and all that. And it's like, dude, this is so cool. I got so into the self-titled album. Like again, I was like in fifth grade and that was always in my CD player. You just saw the clouds. Cause it had like the blue sky and the clouds on the disc. And, dude, I couldn't get enough of that record. As somebody that grew up in the Southern Maryland area, like they are the reason we had, like I was able to grow up in a music scene. Like,
yeah,
people, yeah, it was amazing.
I was curious about that. So if you don't mind me asking, like, how old are you? When did you graduate high school?
I'm 33. I graduated in 2009.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm 31, but I also graduated in 2009. So we're both, yeah. So we are both, you know, several years behind, you know, the Maddens and Willie Martin and Paul Thomas. And, you know, like, I was like wondering about this when you told me you had also gone to the same high school, the Play to High, you know, from what the members of Good Charlotte have said, I do not get the impression that there was much of a scene in Southern Maryland, you know, Annapolis, DC are what they kind of talked about. And I drove through Waldorf like a year and a half ago and I was like, there is not much here. So tell me your experience, you know, what, like 10 plus years after they had graduated in that area, what, you know, specifically, like, what was the music scene like for you?
Thanks. And I will say thanks to them, as much as, you know, people had wanted to talk smack back in the day about them, like, oh, those guys, like, they weren't wrong with what they said. Like, it was a heck of an area. A lot of people had wanted to judge, but because of them, like, our counterculture ended up having a place to call home. And you probably drove past it, like, when driving through Waldorf, and it was a little spot called My Brother's Place. We called it MBP for short. That was like the Waldorf venue that Good Charlotte would play at. And that was like, as when we were kids starting bands, like, that was the goal. We're like, yo, we got to play an MBP one day. Like, and I mean, it's not a thing anymore, but I'm very lucky to say that I've performed on that stage like several times.
Wow.
And because of Good Charlotte, like, love them or hate them, they were able to give hope to that scene and to, like, kids that, it was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to have, you're going to go to college, you're going to get a government job being close to the DMV area.
Right.
Or you got these dudes that took a chance at doing something they love and, like, they made it. So because of Good Charlotte, you had hope. Like, you,
wow.
It was like kind of like Who's Up, and several bands, like, were able to come out of there. Even, I mean, wow. With me growing up that many years later, like, there's a lot of really cool bands that came out of Southern Maryland. It was because of that platform that Good Charlotte was able to, like, they were able to do something that nobody had done yet there. And love them or hate them, anybody can say what they want. Like,
they have made a living doing what they love.
Oh yeah, they put Waldorf on the map because of the music they put out. Like,
yeah,
it was catchy, it was good, and like, having Young and Hopeless come out after that self-titled, like, it was like two bangers of an album. And then they were saying things that directly, like spoke to me, related to me growing up there. Like, and then of course getting older and going through high school, like, I would revisit those records and, like, damn it if they weren't right, but damn it if I didn't get the hope from, you know, Young and Hopeless. So they're like, okay, I can make it.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned, like, My Brother's Place being somewhere that you had played at. I think when I went to Waldorf, I think I, like, wanted to go there, but I think it might have even been closed by the time.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, looking up, like, where should I go in Waldorf? I went to the mall, whatever the big, like, mall they had, I guess, talked about going to. But I went to the high school.
Hot topic there.
Yeah. But, you know, so, like, I went to college in Cleveland and I grew up in, like, North Jersey. So I've been to house shows and, you know, a handful of different places, and house shows and, like, you know, local and DIY shows. And it's crazy to me in, like, an amazing way that a DIY venue that GC played at, you know, even long after they had left the area, persisted to be somewhere that was a landmark. Because I think, and of course, some of that is, like, luck or lease regulations. And there's some Jersey places that have, like, famously been shut down time and time and time again because of noise ordinances. Right. But that's so cool to me that it has persisted, or that it did persist for many years for you. And you're now in Orlando. But I love that you're still, you know, got the hometown pride. I feel like East Coast people have hometown pride. Like,
We do.
Whether you stay on the East Coast, like move somewhere different, or you leave the East Coast, anyone from the East Coast, like you have hometown pride. So tell me a little about Orlando and the Orlando scene. How long have you been down there?
My wife and I moved down here from Maryland in 2014. So okay. we've been down here for 8 years now. And it was definitely different coming from the DC music scene, where like, you know, we would either play DC, Baltimore, Richmond, Northern Virginia, or right. You travel to where your hood,
Philly, yeah,
like the Jersey scene, because it was awesome. And I think the late 2000s and early 2010s, I don't think that there was a better place aside from the Northeast.
Where yeah,
like on the end, my friend Cassie Warner, Set of Cards Cass, I don't know if you know her, but like,
oh my god, yeah, she was on she was on like episode 5 of the podcast.
She's been such a friend and a good supporter of anything for, since like I was in a band called Such as Life back in like 2010 or 11,
yeah,
like back then, and she's followed everything. So like we bonded over this stuff too. She's seen me play in Waldorf before in a different band, like she's yeah. Awesome. She's
Cassie was on, you know, I've been thinking, and I will do this like right after we finish, I've been thinking I ought to have her back, but Cassie's awesome. She was on a very early episode of the podcast talking about, I think, 1979.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like through all of that, like the Orlando scene it's cool. It was really cool to get established down here. Like it is full of so many good bands. And I think that people see that now too, with everybody coming up, like, you know, you got Magnolia Park, Meet Me at the Altar.
Yes.
You have the Capstan has been killing it down here. And it's just really cool to see the scene thriving and so many good bands. And I mean, one band called down here that I think everybody should listen to is called Overthinker.
I think I am one.
I'll do samesies. you should definitely check them out. Like,
cool.
It's such a good scene here. And it's cool that like a lot of us bands are friends and like intertwined. Brave Weather is another one that's killing it. You know, like moving down here, it was really cool to, you know, get established in a different scene with a lot of good people, amazing food down here too, and just endless things to do. So definitely like the Orlando scene.
I have to, and I don't know, Mike, I don't know why I didn't put this on my notes. I have to throw out, I think, two bands from Orlando, both of which are long broken up, but I'm curious if you know them. Junior Doctor and A Hero's Fate.
I've definitely heard A Hero's Fate.
Love both of them. Junior Doctor, I had like added them on MySpace many years ago, and then they were like on Warped Tour, and I finally got to meet them and see them. And A Hero's Fate like toured with like some, you know, a local Cleveland band that I loved, and so they were very close to my heart. Yeah, they're sick. Well, now I want to talk about Out of Time. I mean, so last year you announced your signing with Revival Recordings, put out an album, No Boundaries. I mean, it was a big year for the band.
It was, it seemed like it was so far away, like when we found everything out and when it came out, it just happened quick. And it's been fun. Revival is an excellent label. They're definitely a band's label. They care a lot. They like to be involved in the best way possible. They're super supportive.
Oh, that's great.
The records is a lot of fun, and it's cool that it's, you know, it's done and it's out. A lot of songs have personal meanings. I mean, obviously they all mean a lot to me, but like, you know, especially songs like False Start, Automize, like those are songs really near and dear to me. And I mean, we're already starting to write new stuff. So like we don't stay in one place too long, I guess. Like we're like, all right, cool. What's next? We're hopefully going to be up to play some cool new cities here in 2023.
Hell yeah. No, I hope so for sure. False Start, is that the one with Nick Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Sick. I like that song a lot. You had in the bio you sent me, you mentioned comparisons to Newfound Glory, Saves the Day. I could see a little Hit the Lights comparison. The other one that came out mainly because of the song title, but a little 4 years strong because have you ever been in a storm, Wally? To me, I was like, oh, is this like a 4 year strong song? This is just a 4 year strong song title, right?
We're very big 4 year strong fans too. So,
dude, I love them. And I never had like really sat down to listen to them, but I like had just seen them live a million times. And then I went to go see them live on the tour last fall. And I was like, oh, like I know and love every single song they played, and I've been obsessed since.
Was that the Newfound Glory tour or
no? It was the Enemy of the World tour.
Oh yeah, that's right, because they re-recorded that.
Yes,
amazing record though. Good
Lord. Oh my god, so good. Well, I want to ask Mike, which like two or three songs on the album would you suggest people listen to this podcast? So people who are big Good Charlotte fans but probably haven't heard your band before, which songs from your album would you suggest they check out?
I'll definitely say False Start. Yeah. I'll have to say Lost Boys because it's definitely a little bit like it's a darker kind of vibe of the song, and like lyrically it's kind of touches on like just growing up and some of the stuff that like I went through growing up, and you know, getting to be where I am currently now, you know, with you know the great people I get to play music with, fortunately. And it's just Lost Boys is one I would really like if you like Good Charlotte, if you like Young and Hopeless, and I'll specifically say Predictable from this record that we're chatting about today. I think you like Lost Boys. The one I'll say then finally, I really like our last song, No Boundaries, the title track, because we did a cool little reprise at the end of the song. We reprise a hook from each song on the record, and we had a friend from a different band or whatever come and sing on. So there's like 9 or 10 different guest vocals on the end of the album.
That's so fun.
And we thought it was a fun reprise there. So at False Start, Lost Boys, No Boundaries, definitely.
Cool. Good picks. And before we get into Falling Away, I do have to personally shout out the cover of You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift. Which
thank you.
Very fun cover. And for anyone listening, I mean, it's a killer like pop punk cover of this, you know, Taylor Swift country pop song. And I thought what was really fun, like you switch the genders, which I know there's been some like discourse online over whether you should do that or not. I think it's, you know, whatever the artist wants to do, but
you
changed like some of the words in the song a little bit to make it like pop punk. Like you said, he like likes something and I like Newfound. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very clever.
And I'm a big Swiftie fan. And that funny thing is, Justin had actually wrote a cover of that 10 years ago. Like,
oh wow.
But so did I also. So we kind of like came together and put it together because we were like, wow. Yo, dude. It was right when she was re-releasing Fearless as the Taylor's version. So I was like, yeah. Yo, dude, like, celebrate that. Like, and to me, I've always been a huge Swiftie, and I love that like she's like putting her foot down. I was like, nah, I'm getting my money. Like, if these are my songs, so I'm going to record them. So we wanted to put it out as kind of like
same thing as 4 years strong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, exactly that. So like we thought it'd be fun to do, and I hope it can get some more traction out there someday, because I personally like that way better than our MGK cover. We also, I'll just say it here. We got a really cool cover that we're going to be putting out, in 2023, people should look forward to. So
amazing.
Tell you after we finish recording so you're not in suspense.
Yes, I have two things I am like just realizing I need to like tell you off the record too when we finish.
For sure.
I know, secrets, listeners, you won't get to hear them yet. Well, Mike, I want to get into Falling Away. Was like scrolling through my notes. We have been connected. I mean, it was like 2020 by, you know, the guitarist of your band at a time, Justin. He reached out to me on Facebook, later connected two of us on Instagram. Here we are. why did you want to talk about Falling Away?
I really wanted to talk about Falling Away because when I bought this album, like we were saying earlier, like when the day came out, I was able to get it at Walmart and I listened to the whole record. I had already been really excited about Predictable because I got like that single.
Yeah.
But Falling Away for me was, I feel like that song, I'm like, that's what I was expecting as a follow-up to Young and the Hopeless.
Hmm.
And I felt like that was like that. That's why that was my favorite song on that record, because I felt like it was like a maturing from Young and Hopeless. And the fact that that was like that, like the last song before Wounded, I think, like there's the secret song. Like, I just thought that was a cool cap on that record. It's a great song. It's catchy. But it is, for Good Charlotte, it was definitely a little bit more mature than they had done in the past.
What makes you say mature? Like, what about the song do you feel like is more mature?
I think the songwriting musically stood out. It just showed a lot more maturity. And lyrically, like just his vocals. Also, yeah, the vocal takes that he did. Like, I think we heard a different range from Joel in that song and other songs. Like,
yeah.
Like his highs got higher in that song.
Yeah, the range is like killer. And you know, it's funny. I wanted to ask that because as you were kind of saying, you felt it was more mature. I was kind of thinking to myself, it's like, it's kind of more like emotionally mature, like kind of coming to peace with things. But let's get into it. I mean, I want to hear your views first, but I'd love to hear, Mike, like your kind of interpretation of Falling Away, like the lyrics. What's he saying?
I think lyrically of Falling Away, it can, I like that it's open for it to interpretation.
Yeah. I'm realizing like how vague it really is.
Yeah. And it's, they made sure it wasn't like eyes on the nose, but I don't know. For me, I think it could just be like growth and friendships, like, you know, some different, you know, whether it can be viewed positive or not. It's like feeling like a growth and a strain on different relationships around you as you just go through life and go through the motions. Wasn't a pun, but hey, since we're talking about the life version here, but yeah, like I think for me, it was just like identifying changes that were being made and changes that were happening that weren't being like really addressed yet, and finally addressing them, moving forward from it, and realizing no matter what on the other end of this, I'm going to be okay, and what is going to be.
Wow, that is like such a more eloquent way of putting it. That's than I felt like I had it written out. That's perfect. Like talking about the changes, I think, like, because what I had written down was that, you know, this is about like the end of some kind of relationship. And I do hold true to that. Like, I feel you falling away from me. But especially as you're talking, I'm like, I don't really take that there was like some big conflict that, you know, made people break up or ended a friendship, so much as like, you're just kind of realizing you and this person have grown apart. They're stagnant. You're growing. You're changing. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say goodbye.
Exactly. You know, and dang, we're listening to that in what, like middle school?
Yeah.
That's some deep stuff.
Yeah.
No, like, I think you're definitely exactly right with it. You know, it was, and I think that kind of goes back into the maturing from, you know, Young and Hopeless and, I guess
it's being angry when people leave.
Yeah.
Was a big thing on that album. And that's a valid thing. And I'm often angry when people leave.
And this more seemed like, what is this going to be? It's fine. Yeah. Everything is going to be all right, no matter what. Like it is a positive listen. Like still it was fun to go back and listen again to it. Like, I mean, I had it stuck in my head again. But yeah, it's a great song.
I wonder when in the process of making this album, they decide to do two versions, like the life and the death version, because I wonder, like, did Falling Away and Meet My Maker, like, did they ever consider just having both of those on the same album? did they write the rest of the album? And then it was like, oh, you know what? We should do like a Life and a Death version. That would be cool. Oh, hey, wait, we should like pull from some demos. And I don't know. I'd be so curious to find out.
Maybe to see if like, yeah, like maybe if like, hey, we feel like they had all the songs written and they maybe felt like, no, we should lean this way towards the closer or this way. And then they just kind of left it up to the fans to decide which they were going to buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's always fun to speculate, man, especially because it's a band that it meant a lot to me. Just, I said earlier, they gave me hope, man. It was like, yeah. Newfound will always be my favorite band, always. But like, gosh, man, like Good Charlotte and being able to say I'm from the same town and went to the same high school, like as them, like, I'm definitely proud.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, you're always going to have that tie to them of same hometown.
Yeah, exactly. Waldo for Wine. What?
Yep. I was just ranting on Twitter about people who put Waldo for Wine as two words, because it is not two words. It is one word. No, it is one word. Mike, I want to dissect a line from the first verse, because I'm curious, like, especially with like hearing what you said about the song, I'm curious what you think of this. If we can make this, then we can break this into two memories.
That is a very good song, especially because we're just talking about his vocals. Had the memories, like that part was, it hits so good. Like, kind of. I mean, I think it's like what we create, we can tear down. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I guess that's like something that they created. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's trying to say like they can take both experiences, like. I take away from this what I'll take away from it. You take away from it what you want to take away from it.
Ooh, wow. That wasn't even where I was like going, but I like that. I have like a couple thoughts on this line right now. The one going with kind of the original sort of interpretation of like, okay, you know, you a relationship is kind of ending because you have kind of grown apart from someone, right? And it's like, you know, you can have the memory of all of the wonderful times that you had together. And then also have the memory of like the painful moments when you realized you were growing apart, and like both of those can be valid.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I take. But I also like, you know, a lot of this album I think is about struggling to survive in the music industry. Like, and the life and death being life and death within the music industry.
Maybe we're talking about band members, like, if there was...
Yeah.
There was member change after this, right?
There was. Chris Wilson left between this album and Good Morning Revival when Dean Butterworth was in the, you know, joined the band. But I don't know, maybe it's that, maybe it's, you know, they felt they were falling away from that. But what I was thinking of when I shared that interpretation was more like, if like they have changed who they are as musicians, or they have, you know, the what music means to them, like that heart.
Yeah.
Versus what they actually do on a day-to-day basis and all the craziness and insanity that they do as part of making a living as, you know, world famous musicians. It's like a distance is growing, and there's like the two memories, right? The memories of how much it means to them when like a fan says, oh my God, I love your band. You're my favorite band. You saved my life. Versus, you know, talking to like a record company who has like some shitty opinion on how they should like change or whatever.
That's definitely a good take, man. Like that's got me thinking here. Cause man, there is something different about that. There's definitely something different about that record vibe wise. Like you were saying, and I Just Want to Live, like, and yeah, you definitely got me thinking.
Wounded. Like, I mean, listen, I started this podcast because I knew that I could spend like 10,000 hours talking to members of Good Charlotte about each and every song they've ever written. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wonder, like, I don't know, man. I would, that's something I would love to ask about is mm-hmm. like this song. And I want to point out the second verse too. He's saying, you know, tonight I will be a vessel with these sails set aflame. Let this ocean of our memories carry me out to sea. I will be fall beneath the crashing waves into my grave. I will sleep. That to me is, you know, I hear now you're farther away and this like endless ocean. To me, it's like, okay, there's like, you're accepting that there's a distance. But I don't know. And I'm like, now as I look at it, I'm like, okay, I will fall beneath the crashing waves into my grave. I will sleep. Is this also like, hey, I'm going to die, but like, it's good. I'm happy about it. Like if we're talking about life and death in the music industry, is this like, all right, yeah, like I'm just like done with all this shit. But you know what? Like I'm still... I can be done with all this shit, but also happy with everything I have done. I don't know. Or maybe it's not that at all.
I mean, I don't know. Cause that was definitely cause Good Morning Revival is a different record to that.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe it was kind of like them closing that, you know, closing that like chapter on that.
Maybe.
That could be a way to look at that as well.
I don't know. are there any other songs? And I ask this like because I feel like there's some that I should be thinking of, but are there any other songs by like other artists that you think this kind of sounds like?
Off the top of my head, I can't really think of it. Like the only thing that's coming to mind is like this would have been like a little bit further down the line, B-side to Young and Hopeless, you know, like that's it's a good Charlotte song.
Yeah.
I think that like, that to me, it definitely is a good Charlotte song, and damn, more people need to hear it. Cause it's like, if you're a fan of the band, I know a lot of people stop after Young and Hopeless, but like there are gems out there like this song and, you know, like Wounded. And
I feel like this could have been a radio hit, but I also get why this was what they pushed radio. You know what I mean? Regardless of the whole two versions of the album, like I get why they would push like, you know, Predictable and I Just Want to Live. Like,
Just especially that time, like you kind of needed to like appeal to more, whatever it was on the radio. Then if you did want to, you know, still make it, because that's right when we're getting into the realm of streaming and all that too.
Well, speaking of the, you know, when did this song originate? The only interview that I found that mentioned this song at all was on Adobe. There's an interview with Joel, and it says, the Maddens and their bandmates are currently pursuing pop punk's perfect wave in a Los Angeles studio where they're recording their third album with producer Eric Valentine, who also helmed The Young and the Hopeless. So, yes, I'm just realizing that sounds kind of confusing. They are recording their third album. It was not their third album with Eric Valentine. It was their second with Eric Valentine. The first was with Don Gilmore. Which, by the way, Eric Valentine, Don Gilmore, if you are listening, you should come on this podcast. I would love that. That would be so cool. Please come on my podcast, Eric Valentine and Don Gilmore. We've written a few songs so far that I really like, Joel said, citing new tunes called Falling Away and We Believe as examples. But so far, nothing I really love. So this, I take this as evidence that like Falling Away was somewhat in the picture pretty early on in the process of the album. Now, does that mean they had the notion that they were going to do the two versions already? I have no idea.
I mean, it could just be they ended up with a lot of songs and, you know, they were all like maybe conflicted with what they were feeling. So this was the best route. I mean, We saw Blink do, I mean, of course, I love Blink, but they're like, you know, it's a little bit, they're not as like.
I love Blink, but I have really strong opinions on Blink.
Take Off Your Pants and Jack is my favorite Blink album. And that, I mean, you remember when
they do like the three CD versions of that?
Yeah.
But also think about it, like Enema of the State was Blink's like mainstream breakthrough album. Take Off Your Pants and Jacket was, you know, the follow-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's like record company executives saying, all right, guys, well, you got this cool idea. Let's cash in on it. Now there's a lot of people who want to spend a lot of money on your band. Let's cash in. That's not my like thoughts on Blink. I'll tell you those after. But I do want to compare Falling Away, compare, contrast it to Meet My Maker. What are your initial thoughts, like talking about the two?
I think, well, I actually had some written down about this. Cool. I definitely think it fits that those two songs are separated between the Life and Death versions for sure. I mean, that's just like my quick initial thoughts are like, it makes sense why, if you're going to have two separate versions, that those are on separate, like, I guess, variants or versions of this record, because it gives you a different closer than what Falling Away gives you.
Yes.
I think
My Maker is pretty direct, I think.
Yeah. It's very like on the nose, you know. Whereas like Falling Away like has that like we were saying, open to interpretation. It could be, you know, Meet My Maker is Meet My Maker, you know.
Yeah. But you know, it's like the more we talk about like the two songs, especially with my like new revelations about Falling Away, you know, like what I had written down is like, okay, Meet My Maker is this song about the end of life where life ends in death. And maybe that's the symbolic, you know, life in the music industry ends in death in the music industry. And that's just all there is to it. Mm-hmm. And that obviously, you know, then brings up a lot of questions about like your sense of self and whatever. But Falling Away is then, you know, this like ending where one thing ends, but life kind of continues. Like one chapter ends, but life continues. And I would make a slight edit to that now and say that like Falling Away is like an ending of one thing, and it is a death of something, but it's not
like final.
Right. It's not final. It's
an ending, but there's a continuation beyond that ending.
And it's like, you're not trying to like bury it. You're trying to remember it. Mike, I am like, the more I'm talking, the more I'm getting, I think it's like the life and death in the music industry, you know? And it's like,
I think you're right for sure.
Putting up with all this like music industry craziness and paparazzi and everything. And just the realities of like being a professional working artist with like a major record label and the downsides and like what critics have to say and everything. I think it's more because more the, you know, okay, let's say we just get like completely, totally burnt out from the music industry. Well, either we could just like be done and disappear and like, you know, kind of hibernate the rest of our lives, or you know, we go on and we do something else creative that's a little different, and we still cherish the memories of what we had in Good Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I definitely think that you're absolutely right about, you know, the life and death in the music industry. And I think it is kind of like a response, like instead of just like fading away, like, hey, let's hit them with a punch, and no matter what, put out records that we're gonna like, you know.
Yeah. The other note I had on this song, or in comparison to Meet My Maker, is like they both have this kind of echo effect on the vocals. Like in Meet My Maker, it's the very first line of the song, "This is why I'll meet my maker tonight," and then in Falling Away, it's, I think it's like the final chorus or like the second to last chorus. There's like that echo effect. I don't know. Any other like notes you have on like similarities between the two?
I think mix wise, they, you know, they had those say similar, but they still had their like what the song was on its own.
Yeah.
Kind of pushed the end of the record in two different directions.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any memories or stories that you want to share about Falling Away?
Dude, some of the best from my childhood, which is just sitting in my room playing either NHL or Tony Hawk or Crash Bandicoot. to name drop a few, listening to this record and like for the first time, and I think I was playing Tony Hawk, and I got to Falling Away, and then I had to start it back over again because that song slapped, and then I just hit the repeat button on my CD player to make sure. I was like, we're gonna listen to this one for a bit. And I just had to keep listening to it because it was so catchy. I had the predictable single CD. Shout out to my sister again. She got me that because she worked at the radio station at UMBC and she got all the cool little things. So I had that on repeat like months before the album came out. And then getting the album, the one song I just couldn't get past was Falling Away. I had to keep listening to it before I could listen to the album again. So that was an easy choice when I saw this was that was available for this episode. I was like, all right, we're doing Falling Away.
I love that. And I'm so glad you did, because especially with some of these like bonus tracks, there's not that many people who have specifically been like, yes, this one. The memory that I, you know, would share about this song. I mean, yes, this was also like my favorite song from this record when it came out. But the memory that I have is that I had an idea for a music video for this song. And now, mind you, I was 13 years old. And I had zero experience in the music industry. I knew no one. I had no experience with video work of any kind. But I was convinced that if I could just find the right person to email at Epic Records about my idea, I would, you know, make it a storyboard, I guess, and email it to the right person at Epic Records. And they would love my idea. And then definitely Good Charlotte would just make my idea into a music video. And I would like tell all these, you know, all of my like Good Charlotte message board friends that I would talk to on like AIM and MySpace. I would tell them my idea and they were like, yeah, oh my God. But obviously we were all, you know, like 13 or whatever. And no one like knew anyone in the music industry to like do this or had any skill or even had the knowledge to say, yeah, that is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you mind sharing it here?
Yeah. Well, so it was going to take place. There was going to be like a big sailboat. And the video was going to begin with like Joel was going to be on the sailboat on the ocean. And he was going to be singing. And then, like, the ocean would be on fire, like, in the second verse when he says, like, you know, the flames or whatever. And then, in the choruses, he and the band would be playing underwater on the ocean floor.
That'd be sick. That's a good idea.
I still think it would be sick. Definitely, like, pretty literal. But I still think it would be sick, and it would look really cool.
Dude, definitely. That could be really symbolic. I'm like thinking like you can do like a message bottle, like I feel you falling away.
Oh, and you could do, I'm sure you could do a video for Meet My Maker and, you know, kind of tie them together somehow.
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah.
This was, I don't know, man. Like I would love to see Good Charlotte do like some type of an anniversary tour for like these like three record, like, you know, these three See, records, you know,
if they were going to do an anniversary thing, it would have been Young and the Hopeless, I think. And they didn't, but they also, I feel like they've been pretty clear. They're like not going to.
Yeah, man, it would have just been too cool.
Yeah. Well, something I'd like to touch on is other Good Charlotte tracks that a song relates to. I had some written down, but do any come to mind for you?
I think I might say On and On. Let me see. Actually, no, I think I picked the wrong song title there. Let's go to the tape to make sure I don't mess this up. Oh, sorry, Moving On.
Moving On. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, because like Life, Hope, Truth. Yeah, that's like the chorus. Yeah.
Right. It's also like a song about an end, but in a very positive way, I think.
Moving on from an end. Like,
right. Hey, like, shit happens, but we will move on.
Yeah, no matter what. Like,
yeah. I mean, a few that come to mind for me, Let Me Go, Say Anything, and Ghost of You, all kind of about distance.
Say Anything, that's a really good comparison. I'm like, that's like the infancy of, like, it's like, that's the beginning of, like, the story, and this is the end. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but yeah, that's...
In a way, yeah. And the other one, which now that I talk about everything I've been talking about, like, my interpretation of the song, Counting the Days, you know, kind of this feeling that you're in this situation, that something isn't right, and something needs to change.
For sure.
You know what, Counting the Days, like, I'm pretty sure what it was actually written about was, like, the band at that point. Okay, so... Yeah, no effing wonder I said it related to this song.
No, those are really good comparisons, for sure. Yeah. Especially Say Anything's got me, like, I'm just going to listen to that after this anyway.
Yeah. That's a song. Well, it's also, like, it's distance, but it's, like, there's distance and you're getting silence from this person, but, like, you want to reconnect.
Mm-hmm. It's, and like, then, you want to put that effort in to keep the relationship.
Yeah. Ghost of You, it's, like, there's either someone died or, you know, they broke up with you or whatever. It's, I think, wouldn't really come to a conclusion, but there's, like, a distance and you feel really sad about that. And in this song, it's like coming to peace with it. Not necessarily happy about it, but.
I definitely agree with that, all those comparisons, really.
All right, so I want to read some, like, reviews and articles. There really weren't a ton, but there were a few. So the New York Post had this, like, interview headline that I thought was really good, and I wish I read this interview when I was 13, because I would have been like, yes, this is such a good headline. Like, this is, like, so deep. Tough Choices, Do Good Charlotte, A Matter of Life and Death. And it opens. Good Charlotte is giving their fans an ultimatum. Choose life or choose death. Or choose both. The Rock Quintet is offering up the Chronicles of Life and Death, two new albums that are identical, save the last track. The Life album closes with the energetic Falling Away, while the Death version ends with the dark Meet My Maker. And then there's, like, a quote from Benji, who's saying that, like, he thinks fans are going to choose death because Benji himself is a really morbid guy with a vampire obsession and an appreciation for gothic industrial music. And Benji says that our fans are very much like us. They like the same things we do.
So, I mean, I think for most of the folks at that time, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, that was
100%. And then about the album itself, New York Post said that, I guess there was, like, a separate section of, like, a review. They said, on Good Charlotte's new effort, the rockers ask a Clint Eastwoodian question. What's it going to be, punks? Life or deaths? And then it talks about how the two versions feature, respectively, the life, like, song Falling Away, and the other has the death track Beat My Maker. And the two cuts are melodically appropriate to their themes. Life is pop peppy. Death is a gloomy celebration of the end with a hammering rock rhythm. Both songs have merit, but by the disc with Falling Away, it's just a better song. What isn't so good about this Good Charlotte gimmick is that it double dips into the limited CD allotment of the band's young fans. The devotable surely have to have both, as we were talking about, Mike, and that just ain't fair. This is a money-grubbing, greedy trick that should be beneath any successful rock band. Bad Charlotte.
Aw. That person had a rough day.
Yeah. Space City Rock. Whoever wrote the Space City Rock review, I think they also were having a bad day.
Ah, poor guy.
Just to make matters more confusing, there are at least four different versions of this album. The Life version, which is the one currently on the Discman, and which includes Falling Away as the final track. The Death version, which replaces Falling Away with Meet My Maker and has a slightly different cover. The dual disc version, which includes all the tracks from both Life and Death. And yep, that means it duplicates all but those last two final tracks. and the DVD version, which also includes some bonus tracks. Not sure what they are, though. Kids, I'm only going to say this once. If you're going to try your hand at the Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion trick, at least put more than one different song on each half of the album, okay? Otherwise, you, or your label, possibly, are just being crass. It makes you look like you're using the two versions as a gimmick to sell two albums when you could just sell one. Seriously, this irks me. Just don't do it, okay?
I mean, I think that there was a lot of stuff going on in music that they could have been more upset about, but teach their own. So. that's why we need critics so we can talk smack about them after. It's like, what a dumb review. But it's an opinion, but I mean, it's funny. It's funny to hear.
Yeah. Not a review, but the MPB News article announcing their co-headliner with Sum 41 called this song an optimistic rave up. And also, not really a review, was the album description on Walmart.com by Paula Phelps. And this is the second or third time we've cited a Walmart.com album description. I can't remember if Paula wrote the other one, but I remember being, like, really impressed and by that one, too. And it's, like, this does not feel like typical, like, marketing copy. You know, this feels like I would love to know the story of how Paula Phelps reviewed, you know, wrote this up. Like, was she a Walmart employee? Was she a freelancer hired outside? Did she work for the label? Doubt she worked for the label. Anyway, she said, Good Charlotte's Chronicles comes in two versions, Life and Death. The albums are identical except for the closing tracks. Both of the songs are good and provide fitting endings to their respective discs, although Meet My Maker is, predictably, much darker. Not a ton of comments on YouTube. There was a fan upload by Landscape of Life. Pete Pang said, This song makes me picture myself walking by the beach while the sun sets or rises while listening to the waves splash me. So relaxing. And then, I do want to read some comments from songmeetings.com. Mm-hmm. Lots of people asking who got the deaf version, if anyone else found the hidden track, wounded. And then some fans have something to say, some interpretations. No Logic said, well, it's obvious that he feels someone, who I presume is close to him, is distancing from him. Cites the second verse and says, to me, these are very powerful lyrics and suggest that he feels the memories that he and this person spent together are consuming his thoughts.
That's really good.
Yeah. Nothing Left Drums said, this is a great song. Let me guess, everyone got the Death CD? Yeah, this song has good meaning. It's got a sad meaning with a happy theme. Kind of gets you confused, but listen to it a few times and you will know what I mean.
I think that fits with what we've been talking about too. Like, you know, it's, yes, you know, it's a sad song, but like a happy, like, you know, happy meaning to it.
Yeah. And then Jack Skeleton said, I personally like Meet My Maker way better, but almost every good Charlotte song rocks. I like that almost, that, you know, clarifier. Didn't the Death version album cover look way cooler though? Did anyone get both versions? The Amazon reviews, so this is the dual disc version. And the Amazon reviews were really interesting because there was like a really good there's often like kind of prevailing opinion on like what song's best or whatever. And when I talked to my friend Logan White about The River, we had this whole discussion about like, for so many people who like Good Charlotte, but they're not like, Good Charlotte's not like their favorite band, The River is their favorite Good Charlotte song. And we talked about why that was. Now in the reviews of Chronicles on Amazon, of Dual Disc version, there was a mix of like people who loved the album and either they loved Falling Away or they didn't love Falling Away. They thought Meet My Maker was way better. Then there was the people who did not love the album, but they loved Falling Away, or they said Falling Away was one of the worst things. So there was like a really interesting mix of those four categories. Oh Snap Jack gave the album 5 out of 5 and said, someone is gradually getting farther away. A good relationship song, and here ends the description of songs. And then they kind of wrap up the album and said, I'd recommend this CD to anyone, even though most bands GC are related to aren't my taste. This may be why some people who've never heard their stuff think they just whine and sing about death. No, it's just too unique. I'm sick of people called Good Charlotte posers or only talking about how the guys look. I'm here for the music, and the music gets an A+ with me.
Hell yeah, man. I'm with that.
Yeah.
Dude, sorry, real quick, sidebar. So this is, and sorry, I call everybody dude, my bad. So I'll, even sometimes, like, I'll call my wife dude. Usually it's babe, but I digress. So this is a true story. I was at, like, a whatever band I was in like, ninth grade. I was at, like, a band practice, and, like, it was at, like, our guitarist's house, and his older brother, because, like, we were learning some stuff, and I was one of the only kids in school that was, like, really into pop punk. And his older brother was like, they would make it, I was like, oh, so you like stuff like Good Charlotte? I was like, yeah. I'm like, they're from here. So he's like, yeah, dude, like, I used to like beat them up back in the day and stuff. I was like, that's neat, man. Like, you're living here with your mom, right?
Why are you telling me that?
And I was like, it was just kind of funny that he was like, he's like, yeah, I used to beat him up. And it's like,
right. Like, your claim to fame is that, like, you played my brother's place. This guy's claim to fame was that he used to beat up the members of Good Charlotte.
Yeah, I was just like, word. Because that dude had lived with his mom then, and, like,
yeah. That's just, like, just so, like, weird that he would.
Just checking. I guess they're doing better.
Yeah, right. Well, and I've lived with my parents till I was, like, 25, 26. Like,
yeah, dude, I lived with my parents when I was 24. Like, I mean, yeah. Keep your own. But if you're going to talk shit like that, I'm going to point it out.
Right, I'm like, why? Like, oh, that's so weird.
He was also, like, I think he was late 20s, that dude, at that time. Like, this was, like,
yeah.
I was, like, older brother. So it was, like, yeah. All right, man, neat. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that was fun. Like, and there were people that knew him, obviously, around. And, like, everybody said that they were, like, sweet kids or something. Like I know there's, like, some lady that I met, like, when I worked at a bank, and she used to babysit them and stuff. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool stories, small world, you know?
Yeah, well, let's get back into these Amazon interviews. You're hooked up. I love it. Dan gave the album 4 out of 5 and said Falling Away and Bonus Track Wooded. Both are vague, not a very good way to end the CD. I give it a 5 out of 10 and 6 out of 10 respectively. Overall, the CD isn't as bad as most people say it is, but it isn't the same style as the old GC. I would still recommend it to anyone. Meanwhile, Jenny gave it a 4 out of 5 and said that this song is the GC people are used to. Good song.
Yeah, I felt like that was, like I said earlier, I think I felt like Falling Away was like the mature follow-up to Young and Hopeless.
Yeah.
Like, that will always be my favorite song on this. And then granted, I heard Predictable first, because that was the first single they put out. Right. And I'm pretty sure. Like, but dude, Falling Away is just, it's a bop.
Yeah. Well, I want to move into some sort of middle of the road and then some very negative reviews.
Okay.
So Yahiko gave it 3 out of 5 and said their standouts were Mountain, Falling Away, We Believe, and I Just Want to Live. Jaehan gave it 3 out of 5 and rated this song a 4, said it was really cool and rushed, makes a big break on the slow songs. CR gave the album a 3 out of 5 and said, okay, this album is definitely not the greatest and most amazing album I've ever heard, but it's not entirely bad. There are bad, awful songs like Falling Away, In This World, Secrets, and a few others. There are also good and great songs.
I politely disagree about Falling Away being a bad song, but...
Same. Now on to some negative reviews. We have 2 1-star reviews. The first 1-star review comes from Rolly. So recently, prior to the release of Good Charlotte's new album, they announced their love for Muse. Their manager probably told them to say so, and to no one's surprise, Good Charlotte released an album with similar vocals, piano, and grandiose orchestra feel, including a song titled Falling Away, which happens to be the name of a song on Muse's last album. Heck, they can't even come up with their own title. But I still laugh. Good Charlotte is scared. They know they have stepped into a territory far superior. And then we have Becca Penn, who also gave the album 1 out of 5 and said, so did not like the album, and said, if you are a fan of Predictable, then you will like this album. But for me, the only good song on it is Falling Away, and that is nowhere near the standard of songs from the first album.
No, it wasn't my favorite Good Charlotte record, but like, I mean, it seemed like a good follow-up to Young and Hopeful.
Well, on that note, Mike, I want to ask you, how has Falling Away held up for you over time?
I think after all these years, it's still one of the strongest Good Charlotte songs. If I was going to like put together like a best of the first three records, and if I was like, yo, I got to pick like, let me make this hard on me. I had to pick 10. If I had to pick like 10 songs from the first three albums, dude, that's a task. Falling Away would easily be.
Someone asked me like what my favorite Good Charlotte song is, and I'm like, do you have 45 minutes?
I'm like, damn, it's like I have to tell you why this one could be, and also why right. this song could be, and then you know,
yeah.
Like, well, festival song, yeah. I could go all day about it, but it's held up. It's still catchy. It was fun to like listen again and revisit it, like to talk about like with this episode. And it wasn't a chore to do. Like sometimes, like if you're going back to listen to some old songs, like we all have songs like we listen to in high school. We go back now, we're like, damn, I might have been a little bit too much into this. But like, yeah. Falling Away is, or Good Charlotte in general, it's a band I'm proud that I could say I still like. My wife and I, we have the first two records on vinyl, yeah. is why you need them. And Falling Away is, it's just, it's still such a good song. And like I said, it to me, like it stood out on that record because to me, I'm like, all right, this is a Good Charlotte song. Like,
okay,
this is a Good Charlotte song. No matter what, you can say what you want about I Don't Want to Live. At the end of the day, Falling Away is a Good Charlotte song.
I Just Want to Live is very much a Good Charlotte song.
It is, but I think those two are kind of different vibes.
Yes, like, very different vibes. Like, what has Good Charlotte meant to you over the years, and how has that changed? I mean, you got into that a little, but that's one of my questions I love to ask to wrap up.
No, that's a good question. And you know, for me, being a kid that always, you know, I got into Blink for like Blink and MXPX first, and pop and punk, like punk and pop punk. Then obviously Good Charlotte, Newfound Glory, Good Charlotte being able to be from a small town in Maryland, be like I said earlier, giving me like hope that like, damn, maybe I can make it out of here. Maybe there's something special about me that I can do musically or what have you. Just it gave you me hope to be that I could be something bigger than myself, because these guys came from the same environment. Literally same environment than I did. And through all the bullshit, like, I mean, I wasn't the coolest kid. I got picked on too because of my interests. Like, so like, you know, it's definitely like, dude, I don't have to be a product of my environment. Like there's a way out of this. And
but in a way you are a product of your environment, but not in the negative way.
Exactly. That's a good way to look at it, actually. Like,
yeah.
I saw that and it's like, you being able to see a band like Good Charlotte, it's like I was able to tell myself at a young age, like, yo, nothing sucks forever. Like, yeah. You can talk about it, how it sucks, you know, and those things are going to make you feel how they feel.
And the people who bullied you in high school might still talk about that many years later, which is weird as fuck.
I'm not in any band that's, you know, been on that scale at all, but like, right. I had. Like some of the people that, you know, didn't want me in their band in high school have ended up at my shows.
Right.
Well, but it's all smile. It's all love, man.
And you know, we're at the age, like, where a lot of people that, right, maybe didn't want you in their band or didn't want me to write for their blog, you know, when we were like 18 or whatever, they're not doing anything in music anymore. Some of them.
Yeah. We're all,
you and I are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, just because they said no didn't mean we were going to tell ourselves no. We still wanted to, you know, we're like, all right, well, we're still going to do it, whether, you know, whatever you like it or not. And this is so cool that we get to have a conversation like this, and like we get to bring up, you know, Cassie, like shout out to Aesthetic Cards for being so cool and supportive all these years.
Oh my God. And she, Cassie, like, knows like the local bands literally everywhere.
And she supports them. Like,
yeah.
Without fail. So
I don't even know how she like finds, and it's amazing. And I definitely have to have her back on the show.
Definitely. And if like everybody that's listening, go to local shows, like, you know, somehow she can support local bands everywhere. Like, and she goes to shows everywhere. Like, dude, like go to shows. It's the most important thing you can do.
Yeah, definitely. Mike, do you have any last words about Falling Away, about Good Charlotte, about How to Time, about yourself?
I would definitely, like, I don't know if, you know, I mean, I thank you for having me on this. This is such a cool conversation to have. Thank Good Charlotte for existing. And Out of Time has a lot of cool stuff lined up. And anybody that wants to give us the time to listen, we'd love to have you and love to meet you at a show. All the lyrics that, you know, like, our music is definitely, like, it's based off of what we grew up on musically, but it's matured. Like, so I think that if you like Good Charlotte, you're going to love something about Out of Time. And, you know, we'd love to have you as a fan.
Hell yeah. And I think if you like Good Charlotte, I think you're going to probably like Out of Time. Mike, thank you so much for coming on this episode. So I do have the Generation GC and Friends Spotify playlist. So I'm going to include Falling Away. I'm going to include your cover of You Belong With Me, because I have to. And as well as the tracks from your album that you mentioned earlier. But I would also love to hear from you just like a recommendation, something you're listening to lately. It can be literally anything, as long as it's not Good Charlotte or your own band, and it has to be on Spotify. Those are the only stipulations. Any genre.
Oh, this is so. I'm gonna shout out Overthinker. They have a great EP up. They've put out 3 singles in like the last year. One being FOMO, one being Late Again. Cool. Actually, I am in the music video for Late Again. So cool. I don't know if that's a plug.
Yeah. Let's plug that.
Yeah, so I'm in the Late Again video, and Late Again is such a cool song by Overthinker is coming up for sure. They have been, but they're as good of a band as they are, they're even better people. So I gotta tell everybody, listen to Overthinker. You got the song FOMO, it's phenomenal. Late Again, and then they put out a song called New Stranger. Because if you're like me, I'm always late, so Late Again speaks to me. And they say your late friends are your best friends.
I was diagnosed with ADHD like a little over a year ago now. And
welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. And I for years I was always on time to everything, but it took me a lot of work to be on time. Like, I would stress so much about being on time, and kind of an unintended consequence of like finding out I have ADHD is I just worry a lot less about time, and I'm late actually a lot more now, because sometimes it's like actually okay to be a little late.
Yeah, and just like Falling Away, it goes on, you know. Yeah. Everything's gonna
I'm on time for the important things, that things that's important to be on time for. But yeah, Mike, this has been fabulous. Where can people find Out of Time online? Where can people find you?
You can find Out of Time everywhere, on the Instagrams, Spotify. We're Out of Time FL. Cool. It's just like the Back to the Future plate. So OUTATIME FL. Cool. And we're everywhere you can listen to music. No Boundaries is out. It's 11 songs. So a lot of cool stuff to catch up on, plus some covers. And I'm out there as Mike Forbes 37 on Instagram. Cool. I do not have a Twitter, so.
Is that a punchline reference, the 37?
I'm a hockey player, so it's my jersey.
Oh, okay. Okay. 37 is also my favorite number, and I learned in recent years that it's like a punchline thing, so I had to ask.
Oh, I didn't know that. I want to learn about that, too.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show, and listeners, thank you for tuning in. Last time, we talked about Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from The Young and the Hopeless. And on our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from Good Morning Revival. My name is Molly Huddleston. Once again, and as always, I am your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. You can follow Generation GC at Generation GC Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can follow me, Molly, at M Huddleston, M-H-U-D-E-L-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in. 107 episodes is like mind-blowing to me. This is incredible. Please make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen. Rate and review, and most importantly, tell a friend.